Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, mic check, 1, 2, episode 147?
Yep.
Episode 147. You kind of reminded me of yep, it's Teddy. With the 1-2 check. Was that Rex and Effects?
Yeah, I think so.
Episode 147, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How's it been, Josh?
Chilling, bro. I'm chilling. How you been, man?
I'm cool, man. We just talked for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
For an hour and 40 minutes. One day, I'm not going to tell you. One day, I'm just going to start
recording.
Probably when we both can do this in the same room again. One day, I'm going to just like casually record our chats.
Just do a cold open.
You know what I mean?
Just do a straight cold open where we're just talking. Yeah.
I think about that a lot. I think about that a lot. Like, what if we just jumped in mid convo? You know what I mean? No intro. I feel like maybe I'm thinking of like ways to like spice the shit up.
I feel you.
Like switch it up. But yeah, I ain't been doing nothing. I was telling you earlier, I've been like a little bored.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like I haven't been writing or pitching really. You know, I've had like a really solid last few months, you know what I mean, work-wise and money-wise. So I've been, like, chilling a little bit, but I haven't, like, it's crazy because we're still, you know, because we live in America, and America has grossly mismanaged this whole pandemic thing. I'm still, like, in the crib with it, and I'm still, you know, on, like, 24-hour lockdown, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it's been fine, but then there's a part of me that's been like kind of getting a little antsy for like action and like outside and shit.
I one of my favorite podcasts is based out of Melbourne, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just talking, Melbourne's like in the strictest lockdown in the world.
Really?
Yeah, you're only allowed outside an hour a day to exercise.
Shit.
Only allowed to the market once a day, and that's and that's only one person in your household.
Yeah. So you like open your door in Melbourne, and a nigga like kicks you in your chest.
Yeah, essentially. If you
go, like Sparta kicks you back in your crib.
If you go 5,000 kilometers from your house, you get a $4,000 fine.
So they're not playing at all.
They're not playing at all.
And has it worked?
Like they were doing good for a while, and then they're having their second wave because they actually like flattened their curve at one point, and people were allowed to like have a life. And now they hit a second wave, and so like they're going in super strict lockdown for the next like month and a half to try and flatten the curve again, so people can actually have a fucking fall, which we're probably not getting here.
Dog, and it's crazy. The homie Nikki, shout out to Nikki, had posted a real beautiful like fall image. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, fall is like low key my favorite season. And then it made me sad. I was thinking like, dog, am I gonna lose my fall to this bullshit? We'd have been out like apple picking or some goofy shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, am I going to be in the crib? Fall, like my birthday's in the fall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, I love the fall. And yeah, it like made me sad a little bit. Like, damn, we really going to be like in the crib with it throughout the fall and then into winter. Like, when does this shit end?
I don't know. Like, I'm hoping like me and Liz get to really celebrate our birthdays for real this year. Like, we gonna party the fuck out because we would have been in the fucking house for a year and shit. Like,
yeah, we all gotta go to like Mexico or some shit in February for y'all's birthday.
Yeah.
This shit is goofy.
Dog, I'm not like, it is, I feel you. I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, dude, I don't do shit. Like, I literally, like, you know, working on some stuff. But like other than that, like I'm just not doing anything, and I feel it. Like I feel that wave of like, oh, like I'm not doing shit. Like there should be something that happens every day, and there's nothing.
I'm like, you know, get up and write, walk out to the back deck, come back in the crib, sit on the couch, walk back out on the back deck, sit on the couch. Maybe we'll go downstairs and sit out on the stoop. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, I got to go to Walgreens. I go to Walgreens. Or like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's the monotony of it. I wouldn't compare it at all to, you know, I've heard some people compare, oh, it's like prison. Nah, it ain't like prison. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole other thing. But it's definitely not natural. And it's like, I'm, like you said, I'm really feeling it now.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's like attempting to shank me because I stole their Jack Mac out of their, like, you know what I mean? Out they sell. So, no, it's not like prison. Right. It's a situation where, like, you know, you're doing like what you can, you're doing your best. Cause, like, dog, I'm seeing some shit on my timeline where motherfuckers is in like confined spaces with like 40 people and no masks. And, like, I literally, though, the worst part, I was watching, Last Chance U, the new season of Last Chance U on Netflix. And I'm watching, I'm like, man, like, these people really shouldn't be in the stadium watching the game.
right.
The whole time, I was just like, yo, man, everything I watch and people are near each other, I'm just like, man, they way too close. They ain't got no mask on and shit.
Yeah, that shit is, it look dangerous.
Yeah. Nah, it's wild, dog. I wanted to ask you this because I saw this a couple days ago. Dog, did you see your man GZA when he came out as a flat earther?
This is the thing about that. In the comments, I don't know if it's the same GZA account. You know, some people sometimes do like the fake accounts and shit. Mm-hmm. But like one boy was like, yo, what the fuck are you talking about? And the GZA was like, this GZA account said that, responded to the guy and was like, I was just asking a question. I'm not down with that flat earth shit. So I don't know if if that was a fake GZA saying that shit or if the real GZA. It's hard for me to believe that this person who, A, was going to make an album about space with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's a real-life space scientist. It's hard for me to believe that that guy is a flat earther.
Yeah.
Because for folks who didn't see it, GZA tweeted a video. It was a beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a panoramic view. It was the horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the horizon. And he's like, he just, along with the tweet, it said, does this look flat or round to you?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Does this look flat or round? And people were like, no, we're not, doing it. Niggas immediately started tearing into him. I would love for him to clarify what he meant.
Yeah.
If you really, I'm not saying I'm throwing out liquid swords, you know what I'm saying? If you really a flat earther, but niggas need explanations, dog. You can't just post that shit and then just ghost and we don't get no explanation on what you meant.
Dog, part of the problem was like the two posts before that was like, yo, we've had the vaccine for the flu for 78 years and blah, blah, blah. So he like an anti-vaxxer too. So like some people I just threw my hands up like it is what it is.
That's just so goofy to me, the logic behind it. He's like, man, we had a vaccine for however many years, but we still got the flu. Dog, a vaccine, not a cure.
Yeah, it mutates and changes, dog. Like,
if they, you know, if they develop an AIDS vaccine tomorrow, that don't mean just go out and raw dog. You know, saying like, oh man, they got the vaccine, so it's all good. That's not how vaccines work, dog. There's still the disease still exists.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. The virus still exists.
Yeah, and viruses mutate. That's how viruses work.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I don't know, cause my man Pete Rock be posting like the conspiracy shits.
Yeah.
Why can't it be like MC Search or somebody?
Why it gotta be the heroes?
Why it gotta Why I gotta be the beloved? You know what I mean? The people we love. It, man, I don't know. I'm not down with that. You need fucking vaccines. You know what I'm saying? But then also, I understand why black folks are so skeptical. Yes,
of course. Of course.
I understand it. A white guy, you know what I mean? You grew up, you white in America. What the fuck are you skeptical about?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The system is set up for you.
Right. So I understand why, like, people who are, like, from, like, oppressed, marginalized groups are really skeptical, because we're lied to every day. And yeah. We're gaslit, you know, on a cultural level, we're gaslit every day. So I understand that need to, like, see beyond, you know, the common narratives. There were probably some people... like, yo, you know, they're like in Tuskegee giving black people syphilis. And there's probably people like, you bugging the fuck out. Yeah. There's no way that's real. And then later we understood, you know, that it was a real thing. So I get it. Y'all got to do some more like due diligence, you know what I mean, before like really jumping off the roof with these like wild theories.
Well, no, part of the crazy part is that's part of the problem with this country with like coronavirus. Like when they do come up with a vaccine that works,
mm-hmm.
like there's still like 15% of the country that's anti-vax, and like they'll cause another breakout of it because they're not getting vaccinated.
Yeah, a lot of people will refuse.
Yeah,
once we do have a vaccine for this shit.
And it's not because like Bill Gates is trying to give you a microchip that they can track you, you know, that you tweeted from your phone that has a GPS.
They tracking your phone.
That, like, you tweeted and it says right on the fucking tweet, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Like, I mean,
right.
I don't
you
know,
order Grubhub every night. You worried about somebody finding out where you are and tracking you.
Well, what I'm waiting for is you see like the reface shit that's been going around where people are like putting their faces in like Tom Cruise movies and shit like that.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, and I'm really surprised, but I'm waiting for the dude to come out and be like, you know, that's just a way so they can scan your face so they'll have facial recognition, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, like, you're tweeting that on a social media account where you have several pictures of yourself that, mm-hmm. like, that they've already used for facial recognition.
Right. I'm not one to say that this shit is all, like, fair and square and there's nothing to worry about. I worry about shit all the time. You know what I'm saying? I think that the key to the game, so to speak, is finding like reputable sources for information.
Yeah.
And critically thinking about stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think like, because I posted just earlier today about the Vice ran an article about was it Ancestry or whatever the fuck it is? It's one of those mm-hmm. those fucking DNA joints that was like, yo, they just sold their whole proprietary shit to another company or whatever.
So crazy.
And their, you know, their thing is like, oh no, but all our, you know, clients' privacy is like still intact and blah blah blah. But like part of the agreement when you sign that is that like they own the DNA stuff that you send into them.
Mm-hmm.
And that they can do pretty much what they wish with your DNA if they decided to do that. Because I remember they had like the African one, like the company that was like to help like find your African roots and shit. And they were on Hot 97.
Mm-hmm.
And they did like for everybody on the Hot 97 morning show. And I think it was either Rosenberg or it was Ebro was just like, and you guys aren't like selling this data, right? And they were like, as of right now, there's no plans to sell this data. And it's like, yeah, but that's as of right now.
Motherfucker tell you as of right now. Like, imagine your lady being like, you be like, yo, you cheating? And she'd be like, as of right now.
As of right now, I don't.
You know what I'm saying? If somebody say as of right now, they're basically going to do that shit later.
Yeah. So that's where some of like the problems lie with this stuff is that like I'm nervous about that shit where it's like, oh, well, they're not doing it now, but like they just caught that serial killer, the Golden State serial killer, mm-hmm. because like one of his relatives gave in their DNA.
That's so crazy.
And it was an open source company that did it. It wasn't the Ancestry one or 23andMe and all that shit. It was an open source one. But the fact, like, so what all you're going to do is get, like, law enforcement agencies pushing further and further to try and get access to these DNA databases. And then you'll have, like, the what I saw some people talking about was the fear that, like, Big Pharma will try and get this information to then, like, because, you know, they can, like, use your DNA to essentially trace if, like, are you more susceptible to this type of cancer? Are you more susceptible to these diseases? Blah, blah, blah. That if Big Pharma got that information, that they could then start trying to, like, capitalize off of that with, like, selling you on different things and all these different treatments, shit like that, and profiting off of that.
Since we're, like, fully in conspiracy mode, and I'm thinking about it as you're saying this, like, what's to stop? We have, like, a whole this concept of pre-existing conditions, right, in order to deny people healthcare. What's to stop, you know, a health insurance company from demanding for you to get coverage? They demand, you know,
DNA
a full
testing.
DNA.
Yeah,
a full DNA profile, and then whatever you get, they can deny you coverage based on that shit. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're predisposed to cancer. What's to stop them from changing the legal definitions? Because we know legal definitions change based on, you know, whoever is paying money to the people that rewrite laws. What's to say that, you know, a genetic profile can't be taken into account when it comes to pre-existing conditions? You know what I mean? Like, is shit, maybe the earth is fucking flat. You know?
Listen, I'm not saying I only learned how to use Final Cut Pro so I can make flat earth videos now. I'm just saying that there is a possibility that I could be talking about flat earth soon.
Yo, listen, I feel like...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you ever hear the Adele Flat Earth cover song?
No. What?
It's Hello. It's Hello, but it's Flat Earth. I'm gonna send it to you when we get off the when we get off the phone.
It's terrible. It's fucking terrible.
Yo, it's so good though.
Before we go any further, I think we should hop out for a break.
Definitely.
And then come back and chat a little bit more.
Cool.
Word. Boom, back in effect. So there was another versus this week, you know, Swizz Beatz and Timbaland. I'm assuming Apple gave them like a dump truck of money to keep doing these shits, but 2 Chainz went up against Ross. I didn't watch this one in particular. You know, I think Ross's catalog is real tough, but I can't really fuck with anything that he's like involved with.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch this one. I know you watched it, or maybe you didn't. I don't know. Did you watch this one?
Yeah,
I didn't.
I watched it like after it aired. I watched it on YouTube so I could like fast forward to parts that I didn't feel like sitting there watching.
Yeah.
Like, one thing I will say is I just wish Nas had Rick Ross's ear.
He'd have so many glasses.
Yeah. Ross has...
He got a few, but yeah, he'd have more.
Ross probably has the best ear since, like, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
His ear
and even
is
Jay, you know, some of the shit Jay rapped on, like on Volume 2 or different shits that he rhymed on, you could look and be like,
I'm telling you, go back and listen to like Volume 3. A lot of it's bad, like because a lot of it sounds like that era. It's like 2000
it's of the time,
it's like 2001 or something like that. So it's like really a 2001.
Yeah, Ross has records that sonically at least have not aged poorly.
Nah,
even like his early shit.
Yeah.
And like it's not like the Hustlin' joint. You can play that, and it's not like you're not like embarrassed to play that shit and listen to it. His stuff is really aged, and I think it's like you said, it speaks to his ear and his vision as a musician.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love 2 Chainz. And I think he, like, both of them have, like from the battle, they left, like, bullets in the chamber. Neither one of them played all their greatest stuff. But it was probably the lowest energy thing I've ever watched in my life.
Really?
Watching it made me go, like, oh, I never want to see either one of these dudes in concert.
Jeez, yeah. I could kind of see that.
They're just, like, it was just super low energy. 2 Chainz at certain parts wasn't even, like, rapping. Like, you know, now they're, like, because they're in the same room, they're rapping and shit for this. Part of it was, like, 2 Chainz was being his own hype man. Uh-huh. And, like, just hitting every fourth line and shit. And, like, the rest of it was just playing in the background. And I was like,
right.
This is just, like, it wasn't really entertaining. And it really, two artists who I think who make hits, like, flat out make hits.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really wasn't as good as it could have been.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm not the biggest, like, Ross supporter in the world. And it made me go like, and then it was like, I think it was like on like a Thursday night.
Yeah. Why are they doing these shits? We still on lockdown.
Yeah.
Why are we doing these shits in the middle of the week?
I don't know, dog. Like, why can't we get this on like a Saturday night and like the vibe is right?
Right.
This was like, I think just like a low energy and just, there wasn't much there. And I kind of super was checked out.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, both of them, like you said, like their catalogs are crazy. They make hits. It was really just my distaste for Ross that made me.
Yeah.
And it's not even like a musical distaste because he, you know, musically, like his catalog is the shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, you know, I feel like he's selling a lifestyle and has been selling a lifestyle that's in his personal life. You know, I'm not saying you got to rap about everything. I didn't expect, you know, the Ghetto Boys to be robbing little kids for bags, you know what I mean, in real life. You know what I'm saying? So I don't expect everything in your raps to be real shit. But for you to be, like, the CO and rapping all this crime shit, I don't like that shit. And then, like, on primarily is, like, the rape shit
yes.
that you put in that song. I can't fuck with you on that.
Yeah. Officer Ricky is not like my favorite dude.
Nah.
But he has hits. I can't deny him that. And listen, he has a crazy pen too. So it's not even like he just has a great ear. He has a crazy pen. He can rhyme.
Yeah. That motherfucker is nice. And all his music, you know, he got joints.
I know Kanye said like he wanted to produce, he tried to like let him, he was like, yo, when Ross was like, just like a feature artist for some Slip and Slide records, he was like, yo, let me executive produce your first album.
Ooh, and what?
Yeah, and Ross, like Kanye was not Kanye yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just had his first couple producing features, his first credits or whatever. And so he wasn't really nobody yet. Mm-hmm. And if I'm right, I think it's from the Memphis Bleek video that they shot down there in Miami.
Okay.
Because Kanye's in that, and so is Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think that's when Kanye was like, yo, you got to let me do it, blah, 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 blah. And I think Kanye had like one or two credits for like Jay-Z and like a couple others, like smaller ones, maybe one for like Siegel. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't really Kanye yet, but like he saw it. Like, he saw, right. like, yo, this dude has it. Like, you know what I mean? But, I just was, it was super low energy. I was really kind of disappointed that it wasn't better. Because both of them have such catalogs that, like, it could have been better.
I thought that it would be crazy, at least energy-wise.
Yeah.
And it's like you're really plopping these in the middle of the week.
Yeah, I think that was a large part of it,
what do you kind of expect? Yeah.
It was a large part of it. But I know, like, the rest of the internet is catching up to us because now, like, there's been talk of, like, well, who can Drake battle? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We've been telling y'all for a month that, like, there's only, like, two people that Drake could battle that could even give him a run.
Yeah.
If
they get him with Jay.
Yeah.
That shit will be crazy. But then, I don't know, it's probably even more difficult to get Jay because of Jay's title affiliation.
Yes.
And now this is like an Apple product. Yep. You know what I mean? It'll probably be damn near impossible for them to do it. I mean, I know Tidal's been doing the Versus playlist.
Yes.
So maybe they can kind of like reach across the aisle and do that. But that's the one.
Yeah.
Shit on like a Friday or a Saturday night. You blow the fucking internet up. Twitter might fail.
Yeah, I was about to say, I wonder if it could even get off without it crashing.
Right. Like, crash IG.
Yeah, it would crash every place that it is, like, because it all exists online, it would crash everything. Like, it would crash Twitter, it would crash fucking IG, it would crash Revolt streaming, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, we watching that shit. Like, yeah. If they get, because like you said, I don't think that there's anybody that can really handle Drake.
Yeah, I just don't think.
You know what I mean? Hit for hit. And they might have to do 40 songs each.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, 20 might not be enough.
Nah. How do you narrow down their catalog to 20 songs?
Yeah. Jay's catalog. Jay don't got to play nothing from 444. Like, we ain't even worry about that. But. Man, his like the Blueprint, you know, Reasonable Doubt, Volume 1, like his catalog is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know. There's no run that, like, I know some people talked about like LL, but like, and I love LL.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, what song, like, what song has he had since, I don't know, what was the last hit he had?
Like, Love You Better or some shit.
Yeah.
Which was, like, mid-2000s, maybe?
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, that's close to 20 years ago. Like, his run is long as shit. That's not to, like, diminish L at all. Like, his run is crazy.
He was, like, 15 in,
like,
you know what I'm saying? With L, I think also, because of the way Versus, we're not really picking winners. You know
exactly.
No. But the way these things are kind of hashed out on the internet, LL's early run is a little too early.
Yes.
For like Twitter.
Yeah, my radio is not going to get, like, you know what I mean?
You know, you're going to get old heads that'll be rocking to that shit. You know what I'm saying? But like there are people legit who are on Twitter, who we interact with every day, their parents were fucking with LL's later run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Hey Lover and all of that shit. People who, like your kid's age. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, you were a teenager when LL had fell off and came back twice.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
By the time we were kids, like, by the time we were 15, 16, LL fell off when he did Walking with a Panther, and then he came back with Mama Said Knock You Out, and then he fell off again, and then he came back with, like, the Mr. Smith album.
Yep.
He was on his second run then, or his third run.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So LL has a long stretch like Hove, a long run, but his early run is too old.
Yeah, yeah. His early run is fucking 80s, and people are just going to be like – you're, especially like you said, like, the problem is the people who are judging this are not going to be like, you know, they're going to be like, your Twitter's going to be like, "Duh, what do you mean put a muscle bound man and put his face in the sand? Like, what are we listening to? Like,
if you look at it, the battles that had the most energy around them, Erica and Jill,
yeah,
you know, and I don't mean energy like the performance, I mean social media energy, that Nelly shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the Nelly shit had, like, crazy energy around it because demographically it made sense.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? People were in, like, middle school when Nelly came out, and they're, like, adults now. And, like, of course, you know what I mean? Like, who was popping when we were in middle school, like Cypress Hill or some shit? You know what I mean? Some shit we would be excited about.
Yeah.
That, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, demographics, too. I feel like people were saying LL shouldn't battle KRS. I think that LL wins because it's like a poppy format, and he has poppy shit.
Yeah, because someone I saw KRS. I didn't even cut you off. KRS was like, I got like 15 albums, and someone was like, yeah, you got 15 albums of B sides, dog. Like, you know what I mean?
Nobody's trying to hear like whatever album you put out like 5 years ago. You know what I mean? But I think KRS, like, he has like Rapture. You know?
Yeah. There's certain
shit. The Bridge Is Over is always a winner. You know what I mean? Like, he has joints, but yeah. You can't throw L or really nobody from the 80s up against Hov.
Nah.
You know what I mean? You talk about battling Hov, it's going to have to be Drake or Beyonce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the only way. And Beyonce, you know, she's like got like a whole cult around her. You know what I mean? Nobody's beating her in this shit. But if we talking about like what would make sense as far as eras and competitiveness, it would have to be Hov against Drake, or Drake against Beyonce, or Beyonce against Drake. It would have to be either of those combinations.
Yeah, I mean, Drake at this point he's a fucking sun. He's not a star anymore, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that dude has got his own orbit. Right. So, yeah, it's not, you know, he's on a level with, like, dudes like Jay-Z, Beyonce, shit like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know who could maybe give Drake a run? Rihanna.
Yes.
Like, that would be a dope battle. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she may be able to give him a run. You have to have your own orbit to, like, do that kind of stuff. And, like, I love LL. LL's one of the icons.
Yeah.
LL doesn't have his own orbit. Not anymore, man. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That time is coming on. Like, he's been a cop on TV for the last 20 years, dog. Like,
right. Movie star and shit. Yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah, no, no doubt.
Have him battle Ice Cube.
Yes, exactly. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
That fits a little better, I think. You know what I mean? The battle that they're talking about now that is very interesting is the Rakim and Big Daddy Kane joint.
Yo. Like, because Kane, remember Kane a few months ago, he did like the quarantine concert? Man, Kane was in there tearing it down in his basement. It looked like he was in his man cave in his crib. He was tearing that shit down. He's like dancing and flowing and shit. Had a little baby with him. Man, look.
The only problem is, can you get Rakim and Big Daddy Kane in the same room like they doing? You know, these dudes is older, like, you know, higher risk for COVID. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. I don't want to see. Yeah, I want to see no elders risking it all. Just do it from y'all cribs. Yeah. Like, just do it. You know what I mean? Like, on a Zoom or like, go Instagram or whatever. Just do that shit.
But I would really love to see the Rakim Big Daddy Kane joint. I mean, listen, for me, I got Slick Rick over both of them, but that's just because I like Slick's my favorite MC from that era. So, but Rakim and Big Daddy Kane is like, my only thing is, I think Rakim has a little longer run than Kane has.
Yeah. Yeah. Rakim, the song I'm thinking of, the Truth Hurts joint.
Yeah.
I feel like younger people younger than us, that'll ring off for them.
Yes, yeah.
Kane doesn't really have that.
Nah.
Anything around that era and beyond.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, like, Rakim at least put an album out when we were in high school.
Right. Kane did not.
No. You know what I mean? And I love Kane. I think Kane's a fucking beast on the mic.
Kane, man, it's crazy because you said the Slick Rick's your favorite. Those, mainly Kane and Slick Rick, Rakim too in a way, but like they like alternate in my top. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're as like my favorites. KRS is in there too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? People talk shit about KRS, but like I've seen him live. He's hands down like the best solo, you know, rap performer in history. Yeah. You know what I mean? But then a lot of his records, like I could put on Poetry right now and it feels like it felt when I was a kid hearing it the first time. You know what I mean? Like My Philosophy, shit like that. But Kane might be like one of my favorite people who's ever rapped.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like Kane, and he has so many records, like the records like Raw and like Warming Up Kane, where he's just like spitting.
Yes.
I would love to see, because like younger people see that in like Kendrick Lamar, where he's just like, just like giving you bars.
He's an assault rifle. Yeah, he's right. He's an assault rifle.
I would love to see younger people really see Kane do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know Kane not going to, Kane going to do this shit like a show.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He ain't going to do, like you said, 2 Chainz was doing, but he doing every other there. Joint.
At one point, he's just sitting there leaped over like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, up past his bedtime. Yeah. And I was just like, dog, like, this is...
Yeah, give me more, bro.
You're on TV. Like, it's not like when, like, Premier and RZA was battling and they're just playing records. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
You're supposed to be performing this, and he's right. literally just, like, bent over and shit, like... I was like, dog, yes. like, that energy ain't there, fam.
Kane finna do.
Oh, he gonna be dancing songs? And all Man. That shit. Yeah,
he gonna have Scuba Scrap go come
I was
out
to
do
say, yeah.
Man, and Kane finna do all 20 of them songs.
Yes,
all 3 verses. Yeah. You know what I mean? With the chorus, 16 bar verses. Kane finna spit all them shits all the way through. Yeah. He not going. It would surprise me if he stuck to the format and just played the song and did a little ad lib and shit. That would surprise me if he did that.
Yeah, nah, he definitely would be it would be a performance. He'd be Teddy Riley.
Right.
Who had like a 19-piece orchestra behind him. You know what I mean?
I love that, dog. Niggas was clowning Teddy Riley for that. I love that shit. He come from that era.
Yes, yeah.
They
put
said
on the
Teddy
show.
Riley, when he was a kid, they said he would go out on the street with a keyboard and just play and perform for money.
Yeah.
He's on another level. Like, yeah, he's not like, you know, now you go to an open mic and, like, cats, you know, cats perform like verses now. You go to a show now and, like, young people play the whole song, the vocals is playing,
yeah.
and they just ad-lib to their own song.
Yeah.
Teddy Riley not cut from that cloth.
Nah.
You know what I mean? And neither is Kane.
He was made to put on a show, and that's the same thing
right.
with Kane.
I would love to see him and Rakim go at it.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be so much fun, man.
Rakim got so many crazy records.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he, you like, imagine, you know what I mean, they going back and forth or whatever, and then Rakim drop No to Ledge.
That's the first thing that hit my head, yo.
I might throw a chair out the window. He do that shit. You know what I mean? Like, he got so many records, and Kane does too.
Yeah.
Kane could play, what's the shit? The shit with him and Jay.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
And Dirty. You know what I mean? Man, they need to do that. Rakim ain't say nothing. I think, was Kane the one that said?
No, I think Rakim said we need to do it for the culture, and Kane hasn't answered yet.
Kane, if you listen to this, I know you are. Holla at Swizz and Tim and make that shit happen.
Scuba Scrap at least listening to it, yo.
Man, Scuba Scrap probably rate and review at the end of this shit. You know what I mean? Man, do this shit for niggas who remember the 80s.
Yeah.
That's who it's for, really. Do this shit for niggas who remember the 80s.
Yeah, my kids could care less about this battle of shit.
Right.
Now, if you got Drake to do it, they'd be all in. Like, they would watch. That's why I think, like, that idea, I think, crashes the internet. Because so many people are checked in on that.
Because mm-hmm. I'm definitely watching it.
Yes, exactly.
If Drake, I don't care who they get Drake to battle.
Yeah.
They get him in this shit, I'm definitely watching it.
Yeah.
And anybody younger than me, people older than me, my brother's watching that.
Yeah.
Your kid's going to watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, yeah. People are going to be tuned in. Like, my youngest... Unless you're going to bring, like, Extension back from the grave. Like, that's her favorite rapper. So, like, unless you're bringing that back, she's not watching. But, like, my two oldest are. They're going to be checked in. I think we should hop out into a break before we talk the big story of the week. So, let's hop into this break, and then we can get into the big story.
Word. Back at it. So this, you know, this shit is interesting to me, because it seems like there has been like an ongoing, I don't want to say gender war, because that's not exactly what I want to articulate. I think that hip hop's approach to gender and its the space that's being made for women and like gender non-conforming people, anybody who's not a man, you know what I mean? I feel like hip hop is kind of being stretched to accommodate other people more, and I think that these like gender wars, quote unquote, flaring up are kind of like growing pains towards that. But yeah, Cardi and Meg Thee Stallion put out a record this week, Wet Ass Pussy, you know what I'm saying? And there's been like a lot of chatter around it. And a lot of men who are like hip hop heads have been like on some like, why you always talking about your pussy? Why you always talking about, you know what I mean, finessing men or like whatever. And the hypocrisy in that. Everybody recognizes it outside, except for these men who are complaining about the shit. But it seems like every time Meg does something or Cardi does something, to a lesser degree, Nicki, a lot of this energy seems to come to Meg and Cardi, and then the lesser known rappers, Ruby Rose or, you know, Cupcake or whoever, you know what I mean? It seems that men are at its core threatened by the way that women approach sexuality and rap music and the way that they talk about it, which, you know, tough titties, because I'm assuming, and I know that women have been uncomfortable about the way that men approach sexuality and rap, you know, since the fucking 80s, you know?
I'm going to read you four titles, okay? The first four titles that pop up in this track list. Hoochie Mama, We Want Some Pussy, Pop That Pussy, Me So Horny.
Uh-huh.
The first four songs that pop up in Two Live Crew's song listings for title, okay? We have to stop telling women what they can and cannot rap about.
Yeah, because women been begging us, yo, stop rapping about rape, stop rapping about, you know, slapping up hoes and bitches.
Yeah,
I think that it's gotten a little better.
Yeah.
But like the '80s, or I don't even want to say the '80s, the '90s, it was a fucking Wild West, shit show of misogyny.
Dog, the Ain't Nothing But a G Thing video, a woman is literally sexually assaulted on camera where she has her top pulled off. Mm-hmm. While she's playing volleyball, and like it just got
we were like, oh, that's quirky, like, fun.
The scene didn't get cut; they just edited her titties out in the video. Like that's literally that's all that happened,
right?
You know what I mean? I mean, just 2 weeks ago, they were doing "It Ain't No Fun If My Homies Can't Have None" and "What You Bitches Want," like all this shit. Like, but Megan Thee Stallion, like what I said from early on was. A big part of this is like the dudes who like are complaining about this have no problem when a guy talks about sex.
Right.
What this is about is like controlling women's femininity and their sexuality. And once they can't control that sexuality anymore because a woman takes control of it, men don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. It's like hostility.
Yeah, there's no power over it anymore. Like, everybody, like, what they say, like, every guy wants to see a woman naked until they see a woman naked, and then they fucking tell you that they shouldn't be naked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that idea, and it's just amplified. I mean, but I remember this same stuff happening when, like, Little Kim came out. Like, oh, why she gotta talk about sex all the time? Why can't she do, and especially then because we had... Like, Lauryn Hill was, like, this big, giant artist, so it was like, well, why can't she act like Lauryn Hill?
Yeah. It's crazy. The last thing that Cardi did that like made men really upset. They always do this thing like the dynamic that you describe between Lil' Kim and Lauryn Hill, but now it's like Rhapsody.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? And a guy tweeted, it was like a screenshot of Rhapsody's like Spotify page. And he was like, y'all listen to this bullshit, but y'all won't support a queen like Rhapsody, da-da-da-da-da, you know what I mean, who's not, you know, popping a pussy everywhere and this, this, that, and the third. Really just, like, respectability
yes,
politics.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Right? And somebody pointed out, was like, dog, you just screenshotted Rhapsody Spotify, and you're not even following. Which, I mean, you know, maybe the nigga don't use Spotify. Yeah. I don't know. But it was telling... And it was like a funny gotcha,
yeah.
But it's telling that all of these people love Rhapsody. Rhapsody should be a fucking multimillionaire,
yes.
You know, a million times over, because every time Cardi or fucking Ruby Rose or whoever puts out a song about pussy, you got a million people who are holding up Rhapsody over here. Oh, but what about Rhapsody or Sa-Rock or No Name? You don't listen to them. But it's, you know, these people don't listen to Rhapsody.
No.
These people don't support Rhapsody. I don't know anybody who's been to Rhapsody shows or who's bought like her album on vinyl or whatever, who's like a really hardcore Rhapsody fan who's, you know, comparing and contrasting her to Cardi. Even Rhapsody herself was like,
yeah, don't
stop throwing
that.
Me in this. You know what I'm saying? I can't remember exactly what she said, but she's like, yo, don't, you know, don't throw me in as like the alternative to these women. They're expressing themselves, which is what rap is supposed to be.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, like, if that's what they want to rap about, let them rap about. First of all, I'm not mad at that. Like,
right.
I don't understand what the anger is. I mean, like, listen, man, we could talk about, like, the connections to, like, blues music in, like, the 20s and 30s that was, like, wild and, like...
Wild, raunchy, yeah.
You know, all the way up through, like, rock music in the 80s that was, you know, like, Hot for Teacher. Shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, all that kind
She's
of shit.
She's my cherry pie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff. You could... You know, like, we could make those kind of talks. But at the end of the day, for me, it's like, dog, if you beat your dick to, like, the Little Kim poster where she's, like, in a squat.
Right.
Please shut the fuck up about how, like, these women shouldn't be doing this stuff. Just shut up.
Yeah. Let them have their shit.
Yeah, like, and my thing is, you know, with the role model aspect of it, this, that, and the third, it's like, all right, first of all, like, if your kid is, like, looking to them to be role models. It's the whole Charles Barkley thing where it's like, though, they're not role models.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't, like, if they're role models, then we need to start talking about what's going on. Like, you know what I mean? And even if they are, like, they're talking about having control over their sexuality. What is wrong with that?
Right.
Like, we live in 2020, dog. Like, I know it's a fucking madhouse, but, like,
yeah.
Like, they're talking about control of their sexuality. Should they listen to fucking Rick Ross, who we talked about earlier, talk about drugging women?
Right.
Like,
is he the better role model in this situation?
Yeah, like, why is there more outrage over a song from two women talking about they wet ass pussy than a guy who talked about drugging a woman?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But there was outrage around that. A lot of the outrage was from women.
Exactly.
Rightfully so. You know what I mean? This is consensual activity. People talk about, you know, well, what do I say to my kid? Say to your kid that sometimes people have sex.
Yes.
And people have bodies and their bodies have functions. Your kid got questions. That's your job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got that nut to get that kid here.
Yeah.
Now you got to have a job of, you know, feeding them, clothing them, wiping their ass and explaining shit to them.
Yeah.
Like, I never understood that like conservative mentality is like, you know, well, what do I say to my kid? What the fuck else are you saying to him?
Yeah.
The motherfucker got questions. Answer the questions.
Yeah. Doug, you just say, hey, listen, like, they're talking about sexuality and their sexuality and about, like, you know, what they like and what they don't like. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what it is? It's the same conversation you have about whatever fucking male rap artist who talks about sex that you never had that kind of fucking conversation either. So shut the fuck up. You're not having a conversation.
Right.
Just stop.
You wasn't explaining Snoop Dogg.
No.
Your parents ain't explain Snoop Dogg to you when you was 13 or 12. You're not explaining, I don't fucking know who these niggas are, Chris Brown or whoever is out here singing about freaky shit now. You're not explaining it, you know, when it comes from men.
No.
You know what I mean? But that's really, you know why people do that shit. Like, they do the shit with gay people. You know, two gay people in Bumblefuck got married, and then somebody over here is saying, well, how do I explain that to my kid?
Yeah.
Come on, man. You're not worried, but is your kid really asking you about that?
Does your kid really care? Most kids nowadays don't. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not really a thing.
Your kid know before you know.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We live in an advanced time for understanding. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these kids are sharp as hell with that shit.
Yeah.
I didn't see no kids. I taught last year, you know what I mean, teenagers. I didn't see none of them kids confused about the queer kids that were around.
Nah.
The straight kids, like, there's like, you know they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And nobody sweated them kids for that shit that I saw. I didn't see it.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? This whole idea that women being sexual is a taboo in our society that is falling, and I feel like this hip hop is a microcosm of society, and I feel like these conversations and this angst around this is growing pains toward us not being so hung up and hostile towards this shit.
Yeah, I was a little saddened because we've had this conversation so many times, right? And I don't mean us. I mean, like, hip-hop in general, social media in general. We've had
even
this conversation.
I don't even mean to cut you off, but even speaking for us on this podcast,
yeah.
when we were when you cooked up the document to, you know, like, our list of stuff that we're going to talk about this week, it made me think. I was like, dog, we've had so many conversations about misogyny on this podcast. We've had at least 10 to 15, maybe 20 episodes where that was like a central theme of our topics.
Yeah.
You know?
I just couldn't believe, like, it's like, why are we still, like, who cares? First of all, like, yo, if you watch that video and have a problem with it, I don't know what to tell you. First of all, okay, listen, if you're so worried about that, I would hate to tell you how easy porn is to access on your kid's phone. Like, do we need to have that conversation?
Dog. You remember the shit when the internet first really was like popping, late 90s, and you would go to like a porn site and it would be like, are you 18? click yes or no. Yeah. Pornhub don't do that shit.
No.
They don't even have that thin...
That thin veil.
like not even existent, you know, security measure. Porn sites don't even have that now.
No.
To say nothing of how kids do, you know, peer-to-peer sharing of sexual images. You know how wild shit would have been if, like, a girl in our class could, like, send you what kids send each other now? It's a different set of rules, and this is my ultimate point. It's a different set of rules, and the old rules of engagement and the old conservative thoughts and opinions about it don't work anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we need to have a conversation about this, but like we're running from a conversation about like ending rape culture and teaching, like, have that. And you know what? That's the discussion to have with your kids about rape culture, not about women talking about they wet ass pussy. Like, that's the conversation we need
activity.
To have. Yeah.
Not browbeating. Definitely, like, talk to your kid if your kid's like, oh, what does this stand for? What are they saying? Definitely have that conversation. You know what I mean? But, like, I would hope that folks are framing it, like, in a way that, like, this is consensual sexual activity. Mm-hmm. These people are adults, and they're having fun with the shit. And then also, like you said, talk about rape culture and non-consensual sexual activity and how that shit's not okay, and really reinforce. That's the conversation you ought to be reinforcing, that the non-consensual activity is what we need to do away with. Not like this fake outrage and like wringing your hands about consensual sexual activity.
Yeah, I think in the end, like, we're rehashing an argument that doesn't even need to be made, man. Like, let's talk about shit that really needs to be done. Like you said, this is women talking about consensual acts. Like, why are we so concerned about this when, like I said, dude, I read you the first four songs that come up in the Two Live Crew thing. Like, you didn't care about that then. Like, you know, right,
what I mean? Was down. You was with it.
Yeah.
Even if you ain't like the music, you was with the videos and, you know, the record covers and shit and women with their ass out. Like, you like that shit. We all do.
Yeah. 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 Stop. Like, just stop and just go, yeah, you know what? These women are talking about this. And if my daughter hears it, like, hopefully she'll come to me and speak to me about, like, what it is and what it means and shit like that. Yeah. As opposed to being like, how do I explain this to my daughter? Like,
right.
And that's the big thing, too. It's just like, there's no talk about like, well, how do I explain this to my son? Because we're so far removed from actually talking about these things and these ideas about with your kid, with your son. It's always like, oh, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. That must, again, it's just the trumpeted misogynistic culture that we live in.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that, you know, a lot of this shit that we're dealing with and wrestling with, like I said, you know, would be growing pains towards something better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Women are still exploited, still attacked, you know what I mean, in hip hop. You saw this shit with Jaguar Wright.
Yes.
Came out and was talking about how she's a singer from North Philly. Who was down with, like, that whole, like, Black Lily, neo-soul movement. She was in the Roots camp. She was signed to their short-lived label, Motive. It was Motive Records or whatever it was. And she came out and accused Common of, like, sexual assault.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, as is common, no pun intended, when women come out and talk about this sort of thing, immediately you get people saying, like, you're lying. Yep. Why would you wait? This, that, and the third. You know what I'm saying? I was around, but I wasn't around. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? During that era. So I don't know as much as anybody else knows. But I think that by default, we got to believe what women say when this shit goes down, regardless if it's, you know, somebody whose music that we love, you know, being accused of this shit. And I think that we're showing our failings as a culture when we don't take this shit seriously and when we don't make real measures to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? We're showing that we don't care that much.
Yeah.
Or as much as we should.
Yeah. I agree 100%. I think it's, like you said, I think these are the painful conversations we have to have. And hopefully we're growing and learning. Because I've seen I did see a shit ton of pushback, too, which I was happy to see. I was really happy to see a shit ton of pushback from people. And I think, you know, that's, you know, for every one person that was pushing back this time, there'll be 10 people pushing back next time. It's the same way that the 10 people that pushed back this time, it was the one person who was pushing back the last conversation we had about this.
Right.
So,
and that's what I really want to see.
Yeah. One person teach two people and, you know, it grows. So I'm glad that I saw as much pushback as I saw, too. And from men, like, you know, taking on that idea that, like, yo, stop. Like, you know what I mean? That's important. Like, we need that connection, too.
Definitely more than it would have been back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think we should start rapping. Did you listen to anything new this week?
All right, man, I've been so swamped with shit. Like, I didn't listen to. The only thing I really rocked with, did we talk about this shit? Aminé, his new record.
Okay.
It's called Limbo. Mm-hmm. I listened to that shit, and it was really fucking dope. He kind of like, he's from Portland. You know what I mean? He had that song Caroline and that song Spice Girl. So kind of like poppy shit that he's known for. But this one, he's like digging in. You could tell his pen is a little sharper this time around, and you know, a lot of the beats are, I can't remember who produced on it, but a lot of the beats are dope. It's like fun sounding, but also you could really tell he's like stepped it up as an MC. You know what I mean? It's a dope song that's like a tribute to his mom.
Okay,
it's really, really beautiful. And yeah, that's probably like the only new thing, Amine Limbo, that I listened to. That's probably like the only new joint that I really rocked with this week.
Yeah, I checked out my man. It was an exclusive title release, from what I understand. The Makami joint, Hard Lemonade, Makami, Hard Body.
Yeah,
Hard Body.
Yeah.
I really, really fuck with it. From what I could tell, he did all the production on it as well.
Yeah.
And this shit hits hard. He's got joint.
Got some shit.
Yeah, he got a joint with Euro Droog, which is like bananas. Them going back to back, like four bars, like, you know what I mean? Crazy. Really, really good. This record is really, really good. You know, it's in that Griselda, Rock Marcy, like Fleet, like that whole lane. But really, really good, man. This Makami joint is like fucking insane.
Yeah. I gotta check that shit out.
Yeah, you gotta check that out. It's really, 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 really good. Also, I checked out S. West, Paranoia Saves Lives.
Mm-hmm.
From what I'm pretty sure he's Canadian, but does like a lot of production for like, I know he's done stuff with Young's Teflon. For listeners, they know he's one of my favorite grime MCs. This is like him with a bunch of other, I think he's like the driving force, but like there's a bunch of other artists who like come through and appear on it. Mm-hmm. But it isn't like a super grime heavy joint. It's kind of a vibey, like, London, maybe even Canadian sound to it. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there is a track with Young's Teflon on there, so that's like a grime joint, but then there's like other tracks that are more like R&B-ish almost. And then like there's joints that are just kind of like, they're not like rhymey or like R&B-ish, they're kind of like somewhere in the middle, and like it's a really vibed out record. I think people should check it out. It's S West, which is ESS West.
Yeah.
Two words. Paranoia Saves Lives. I think people should check it out. It's really like, it was fun to listen to because it was kind of like all over the place musically.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of enjoyed that it wasn't, because of so much stuff that I listened to is either like so much in one lane, like, you know what I mean? This kind of touching all over the place kind of felt like a Khaled record, how Khaled would have like stuff all over the place. Or like when Clue and them were dropping like comp records. Yeah. And like some shit would be like super hardcore, then there'd be like, you know, the Mary J. Blige joint, like, you know what I mean? So like this kind of feels that way a little bit. I really dug it. I think people should check it out. Paranoia Saves Lives by S. West.
Nice.
Other than that, yo, you know, we have the serious, we have the Abash Ice T-shirts and hoodies at Incense Trap and Yoga. Proceeds go toward helping migrant families. I'm Indy, INDI _ SRS at Twitter and Instagram. You're John the Liberator at Twitter and Instagram. We're Serious Rap Shit on both Twitter and Instagram. Come give us a follow, show us some love. If you're listening to this on your Apple Podcasts app, you can rate and review us right in there. We really appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. If not, just tell a friend to tell a friend to check it out. And then other than that, yo, we'll be back next week with some more fire for you, man.
Yeah. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.